Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who shines in glory, clothes us in compassion, and bears gifts of mercy for all. Amen. Let us confess our sins with confidence in God's promise of forgiveness. God, wonderful counselor. God's loving kindness has appeared to us in Christ our Savior. We are saved, not by anything we have done, but by God's mercy poured out on us richly. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Through the Spirit living in you, God give you faith to trust Jesus, who was love born for you, now and always. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he came, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites that he had been what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went to speak with him. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm responsively. Congregation, please read the bold print. The Lord is king, let the people tremble. The Lord is enthroned upon cherubim, let the earth shake.
The Lord reigns high above all peoples.
Let them confess God's name, which is great and awesome. God is the Holy One. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and fall down before God's footstool. God is the Holy One. You spoke to them out of the pillar of a cloud. They kept your testimonies and the decree that you gave them. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and worship upon God's holy hill, for the Lord our God is the Holy One. A reading from 2 Corinthians. Since then we have such hope, we act in great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of glory that was being set aside, but their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ it is set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as through reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it's by God's mercy that we are engaged in his ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." If only it were that simple. As a parent, I feel at times that parenthood is one long game of "I told you so." Child comes to me with an injury. My response is, if you had listened to me, that would not have happened. A child comes to me with an object that they broke, usually something belonging to their mother, and I say to them, "If you had listened to me, this would not have happened." A child comes to me telling me how they got in trouble, and my response is, "If you'd listened to me, this would not have happened." We could go on and on, and these are examples of just what a parent says not to do. Of course, a good parent also wants their child to listen to them so that they would flourish in life, not just to avoid the dangers, but to have access to a life in abundance. But what does it mean to listen to Jesus? That can mean different things to different people. First, we must unpack what is happening at the Transfiguration and what it's pointing to. Jesus is on a journey from this mountain to the cross. The culmination of the cross is for us God's desire to liberate all people. And in our gospel lesson, we hear of Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus about his departure, which he's about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, this departure might be better translated as Exodus. Sarah Heinrich reminds us that there are some parallels that we can make between Moses and Jesus. Both experience God's majesty. They're chosen but not given an easy passage. And the word Exodus can give us an image of the hardships that one endures under oppressive power. The connections with Exodus should give us hope. Hope that there is deliverance when we experience God in our midst. But Heinrich reminds us that Exodus from under the power of an oppressor has a cost. Exodus under the power of any oppressor has a cost. The people of Ukraine can certainly relate to this heartbreaking reality at this time. In recent days, we've heard what the cost an oppressor brings. The fears that we've heard from parents and them taking measures to protect their children. Ukrainian leadership and civilians being prepared to stand up to tyranny. A Ukrainian archbishop gives an understanding of God's promise of experiencing an Exodus life in the midst of this current conflict, saying, God captures and overthrows the mighty of this world with their pride, the conquerors with the illusion of their omnipotence, the proud and insolent with their self-confidence. It is He who grants victory over evil and death. The victory of Ukraine will be the victory of God's power over the meanness and arrogance of man. So it was, is, and will be. Centered in the word, the Archbishop shows us a real-world hope of Mary's Magnificat, how that can offer a promise to people living under oppression, and how even death will not separate them from the love of God. In the long run, tyrants do not win. Tyrants do not prevail. If only tyrants would listen to God's prophets of their day. So if we go back to the mountain, the voice that tells the three disciples to listen to Jesus implies that there are other voices to listen to in this world, some of which claim to be the very voice of Jesus, but corrupted and hijacked to push the agenda of tyrants and grifters in this world. This is the world that Coraline has been brought into. And as she enters the waters of baptism, she will be joined to Christ and brought from death to new life. The new life that she has in Christ, though, will still be filled with other voices in the world. Earlier in Luke's gospel, when Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." At baptism, when you look at this whole rite and ritual and the sacrament that we go through, that is essentially what God is saying to Coraline today. You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. And one of the roles of the church is to enable her to listen to that voice, the voice of God that considers her beloved, that's pleased with her right now, and will always be pleased with her. See, we live in a society that's obsessed with the self. We're all defined by our hobbies and our work. We're defined by what we do. We're defined by what we produce. As Coraline grows up in this world, there will be voices that will cause her to question, what is she doing? What is she producing? And just like any of us sitting here this morning will wonder, am I just a product in this world? What is my worth? What is my value? Now, at this point in her life, I don't believe she's having any existential crisis of who she is, right? I don't think she cared about the outfit she put on this morning, right? Or that was put on her, I should say, right? But someday she will, because of those other voices in the world. Someday she'll doubt her worth by what she does and what she puts on. And I believe many of us wonder what our value is and how some in our society have responded, even amid a pandemic, to further question that. When our value is rooted in what we can produce, it became crystal clear through some voices in our society that we can disregard the lives of the elderly, children with underlying conditions, and the immunocompromised. Yet, when we listen to the voice of Jesus and we see people through the eyes of God, we are aware of their value and worth to the divine. Can we cultivate a life for Coraline and for all people to hear loud and clear that they are beloved by God? As we honor her particularity and the blessing that she is and will continue to be in the world, we also invite her to listen to the voice of Jesus and to follow Jesus, follow the way of Jesus, which also means that life is not always about her, but about others and all of God's creation. How will she be able to distinguish between the voices that call her to be loyal to other entities and people over God? How will she know if it's the voice of God or not? From this mountain, Jesus' departure or exodus is to take on the cross. And as he pursues the cross, he ministers to the marginalized along the way. Jesus demonstrates to the world that God's love culminates on the cross through sacrifice, not through power or violence. So when Jesus looks more like John Wayne and not the humble servant that gave his life on the cross, then it's probably not the voice of Jesus. When someone is telling you who to exclude rather than who to include, then it's not the voice of Jesus. When voices are trying to dehumanize and invalidate another human being, then we could be assured that it is not the voice of Jesus, because that would be a rejection of God's creation and the very persons created in the image and likeness of God. My hope for Coraline and all the baptized is that when we gather around word and sacrament, we would realize that God is bringing us up to the mountaintop, right? It's a mountaintop experience, that we would hear loud and clear the voice of God as we practice the faith. That in the word and proclamation of the gospel, in receiving the holy meal, the true body and blood of Christ, that we would always walk away with a sense that God loves us. That when we make a mistake, God forgives us. That when we find ourselves in times of despair, God is with us. That when we need to be sustained in life's journey through the ups and downs, God would feed us and nourish us. And when we come down from the mountain, that our attention would turn to our neighbor. Not a box checked off in fulfilling a religious obligation, not to retreat into a self-absorbed bubble, not to listen to the voices that will lead us astray in tuning out the voice of Jesus. But in listening to the voice of Jesus and following Jesus as we come down from the mountaintop with our God, that our attention would turn to those who need to hear and receive love in a world that has shunned them, to hear and receive love in a world that has told them they are undeserving of such things. Coming down from the mountain, Jesus casts out a demon from a child and gives him back to the Father. Doesn't that foreshadow what's to come? How Jesus will bring us all back to the Father. In holy baptism through those waters and through the promise that God makes to Coraline that we hear today, we rejoice in that word that she belongs to God forever. And some will say, what has she done? She hasn't done anything. That's the point. That's how amazing God's love and grace is. That's the point. We don't have to produce something for God to love us. That's what's so counter to the way of the world. With Coraline, we promise to work for justice and peace in all the earth. And as we come down from the mountain, may we cast out the demons such as racism, sexism, and materialism, nihilism, and others in the world. As we come down from the mountain, may we look at the oppressive systems and structures that would perpetuate hunger and poverty, demonic systems that even enslave and devalue people. As we come down from the mountain, may we cast out the demonic voices in the world that get us to question our self-worth. Because the good news is summed up in three words. God loves you. God loves you. This is the gospel. This is the promise that Coraline and all the baptized received. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. That's it. Not God loves you if. Not God loves you but. Not God loves you when. God loves you, period. Let us hear the voice of God that tells us this. Let us receive this amazing love from God and come down from the mountain to unleash that love in this world. This is how we stand up to tyrants and grifters and all the voices in this world that try to deceive us. Let us unleash, receive and unleash this love from God that provides, accepts, includes, and offers life in abundance to all people. A love that never dies, a love that never ends. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I invite Coraline's family and sponsors to come forward. Well, I should say her parents. We don't have room for the whole family. Everybody comes up. Stand there. I'll tell you one point. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. Sponsors.
I present Eli and Laura Smith, who desire to make public their affirmation of baptism.
Called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have your child baptized into Christ? As you bring your child to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with her among God's faithful people. Bring her to the Word of God and the Holy Supper. Teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Place in her hands the Holy Scriptures and nurture her in faith and prayer, so that your child may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and to work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help your child grow in the Christian faith and life? Sponsors, do you promise to nurture this person in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit, and to help her live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? People of God, do you promise to support Coraline and pray for her in her new life in Christ? I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God, the powers of this world that rebel against God, and the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Eli the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm his faith, guide his life, empower him in his serving, give him patience in suffering, and bring him to everlasting life. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Laura the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm her faith, guide her life, empower her in her serving, give her patience in suffering, and bring her to everlasting life.
Amen.
Eli and Laura, you have made a public profession of your faith. As you continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, we promise to support and pray for your life in Christ. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, holy God. You are the creator of the waters of the earth. You are the fire of rebirth. You poured out your spirit on your people Israel. You breathe life into our dry bones. Your son Jesus promised to send the spirit to us that the world may know your peace and truth. Pour out your Holy Spirit and breathe new life into those who are here baptized. By your spirit, adopt us all as your children. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Coraline Helena, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give your daughters and sons new birth. Cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Coraline with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Coraline, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of light. Let us welcome the newly baptized. Let us rejoice in welcoming Coraline into the body of Christ. We continue with the hymn of the day. Please rise. You wouldn't mind if I carry her around. Yeah. If she doesn't, she might.
We'll see.
Yep, we'll go there.
The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Transform us by your grace, O God. Send us down the mountain to share the joy with all the people. Make us agents of change, confident that your hope will vanquish despair and your goodness will conquer evil. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all holy people of God, God of grace,
hear our prayer.
The mountains and valleys sing your praise. Dazzle us with your presence and ever in every landscape. Bluffs built by ancient glaciers, canyons carved by flowing rivers, flat horizons and uninterrupted views, and sands shaped by ocean tides. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You love justice, establish equity, and call us to be messengers of hope. We especially pray for the people of Ukraine that peace would prevail and that the lives, human rights, and dignity of people in Ukraine are protected. Build up safe and joyful communities where all people may thrive. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Heal those who are in distress or ill, especially the Beale family, Matt, Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Audrey, David, Harry and Barb, Ruth, John, Barb, Leah, our homebound, and for those with COVID-19. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Today we shout Alleluia from the mountaintop. This week we enter the wilderness of Lent. Bless all who prepare and lead us in worship during this changing season. Pastors, deacons, musicians, and all who contribute to our worship life. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, you send your Son Jesus to protect us all. We pray for those in our armed services, especially Kate, Michael, Luke, and their chaplains. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are they who listen to Christ's voice in this life now and rest with them. Rest with them. Transform us from the glory into glory and give us your peace that we do not lose heart. God of grace,
since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
We continue with the offering.
us pray. Blessed are you, O God, sovereign of the universe. You offer us new beginnings and guide us on our journey. Lead us to your table, nourish us in your heavenly food, prepare us to carry your love to a hungry world. In the name of Christ our light.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, author of time, one among us, breath of our bodies, you are as close to us as skin and infinite as stars. You came to us as Jesus of Nazareth, carpenter and rabbi, who in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim today the Lord's blessing, present in our time just as in ages past, building up the communion of saints even from our own bodies. Bless us with your presence and give us here a foretaste of the feast to come. Let your Holy Spirit infuse our hearts and minds with joy so that we may live to praise you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Blessed
is they our daily bread.
Give
us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, I invite forward communion assistants and those who are participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be at the pulpit side of the congregation. An usher will dismiss you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward, and then you can indicate your preference of wine or juice when you receive the sacrament. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to God's table. There is a place for you and enough for all. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Tongues employ, reaching out from the shouts of joy. Bread is broken, the wine is poured. Christ is spoken and seen and heard.
Jesus lives again, and can breathe again. Pass the word around the world. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around the world. Christ is able to make us one. At the table he sets the tone.
Announcements for the good of the community. Linda?
I would remind you that thanks to Thrivent, we have a number of cards out in the narthex that are thinking of you cards. These are placed out there for you to send out into the world to remind everyone that Jesus is there, that he's watching over us, regardless of whether they are members of our congregation or not. I invite you to please help yourself. Take the self-addressed, the self-stamped envelopes and send them out into the world.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. God, who leads you in pathways of righteousness, who rejoices over you, and who calls you by name, bless your going out and your coming in today and forever.
Yeah.
Go with Christ into a weary world. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.